A man awakes from disturbing dreams to find himself completely transformed into a monstrous insect. Mm. As the man comes to terms with his new form, his family's reactions reveal the fragility of their new relationship. The man, Gregor Samsa. The book, The Metamorphosis. And you're listening to Lit Society. Let's get lit. Hi, readers. This is Alexis.
And this is Kari.
And you're listening to Lit Society, a podcast about books and drama.
Right.
This week, readers, we are going to do what society says. Okay.
What society says, Alexis?
Is where we share your comments with the rest of our Lit Society. Kari, did you find a litty comment you wanted to share with our readers, the literati?
Yes, I did. And this comes from Apple Podcasts. The comment is from Brooke Loves Sonic, and it says, like reading with friends. I really enjoy this podcast. They make me laugh so hard. The classic literature ones are my favorite. Oh, they're going to love today's. I've been introduced to some new books that were so good. Every time I listen, it's like I'm in a book club with my two best friends. Thank you so much for being so passionate about reading. I can't wait to see the next books we're all going to read together. Hey, we love that.
We love when you read with us. Okay.
We do. So thank you so much, Brooke Love Sonic, for both listening to our show and reading along. Alexis, Is there a comment you found particularly lit this week that you want to share?
Yeah, and this one is from Instagram. It's from Papillon_Nori88. And they commented, love the show. I laughed along with your review of Harlem Shuffle. I also felt that there were some James McBride moments. Haroldine! And appreciated the way you both talked about points that some of the reviews I've read have glossed over. Mm. New but loyal listener. Remember, readers, engage with us. When you read, we read. When we read, you read.
We read and together. That way, mm-hmm.
Yes, we read together. And that way, you share your comments with us, message us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or we love it when you leave us comments on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Mm-hmm. Moving right along. Kari.
Yes.
What can you share with us about the author and context for this book this week?
Yeah. So this book, The Metamorphosis, was written by Franz Kafka. It's a novella. And Kafka was born in, can you guess which country?
I do know. Mm-hmm. Germany.
Ooh, so close. So He's a Bohemian. He was born in the Austro-Hungarian Empire in a little town known as Prague. Of course, that's now in the Czech Republic. Mm-hmm. He was born in 1883. He's been around a long time. Kafka was a German-speaking Jew, though, and that's where you've likely got Germany from.
Yeah.
And he was born into a middle-class family. He was trained in law, and he worked for an insurance company and wrote in his spare time. A lot of what he wrote included hundreds of letters that he wrote to friends and family. Kafka was the type of person that would send you a text, and then if you didn't respond, by the time you check, you have 10 more texts from him. They don't elaborate on anything. They're all just very all over the place. And he might be telling you how he made you, how you made him feel in his childhood. Well, to that point, his father was an imposing man in Kafka's eyes, intimidating and cold. Kafka once described him as a true Kafka in strength, health, appetite, loudness of voice, eloquence, self-satisfaction, worldly dominance, endurance, presence of mind, and knowledge of human nature. Oh. This is how he told his father about himself. And in this description, we see that Kafka never felt himself like a true Kafka man. He was small in stature. He had a lot of insecurities, which we'll touch on. And his father, in his eyes, ran the world from his armchair. So their relationship.
That's intimidating.
For sure. And their relationship was strained, which perhaps provided inspiration for today's book, Metamorphosis, where the most strained relationship, I will say, is between the protagonist and his father. Speaking of family, Kafka's grandfather performed ritual slaughtering They were, of course, a Jewish family. And this is interesting because when we consider some translations of Metamorphosis, it doesn't outrightly say that he was a cockroach, an insect. Some translations say that he was an animal unfit for sacrifice.
Oh, so, really?
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
That so is like it, interesting.
Yeah. So Kafka's father, so that was his grandfather. His father was a traveling salesman. Also, we see that in the book, who later became a fashion retailer. All six of his siblings, or I should say all five of his siblings, died tragically, although not all did so before him. Kafka was the oldest. His two brothers died in infancy, and his three sisters were murdered in the Holocaust, tragically, World War II. Mm-hmm. Kafka suffered from self-doubt, low self-esteem, as we said. He burned most of his work. I think I read like 90% of what he wrote, he burned. And that was mostly because he was unsatisfied with his writings. And when published, Metamorphosis wasn't like a huge hit or anything. It gained little attention. And that didn't change until after World War II, when popularity in Kafka grew exponentially and he became a key influence in the works of artists, not just writers, but even painters, you know, auteurs looked to Kafka and his Kafka-esque type of style. A womanizer, Kafka was never married. He was engaged like three times, I think twice to like the same woman once. And he died in obscurity of tuberculosis at 40 years old. He had a very odd relationship to women overall. And odd is a judgy word. I'm just saying, like, that's how I feel based on what I've read about him. He frequented brothels in his older years and never really formed like a confident mutually beneficial, healthy relationship with the opposite sex. Now, Kafka left his work, the 10% of what he wrote, both published and unpublished, to his friend and literary executor, Max Brod, with explicit instructions that it should be destroyed.
Yes.
When Kafka died. Did that happen, said, Alexis?
No, forget you, man.
You did. How you gonna tell me what to do with your works? And in this way... I feel like Max is a true friend because it's not like Max was publishing this under his name. He wanted Kafka to get the credit. He saw the wealth in Kafka's writing that Kafka didn't see for himself. And so he was like, yeah, no, I'm totally going to destroy it when you die. As soon as that man died, Max was like, to the publishers of Random House, please see these works that will quickly become classics. But
thank goodness for his friend.
Max was like, if he really wanted him destroyed, he would have never trusted him to me because I was never going to do that. So my conscience is clean. Max Ort ignored this request and published the novels and collected works between 1925 and 1935. He defended his actions, as we said, and we all benefit from that disobedience today. Today, the term Kafka-esque in English means extremely unpleasant, frightening, and confusing. I haven't heard that thrown around so much in like everyday conversation. But I've definitely seen it in movies, and you know right away what it means just based on his writings. And so that's what I have about Kafka.
Yeah, very interesting man. Thanks for sharing that, Kari.
Alexis, who do you think would be interested or appreciate the work of The Metamorphosis by Franz Kafka? I'm not giving anything away, but who do you think might be interested in this book?
So, I thought of, this is hard. So I thought of animals, speaking animals, of course, that comes to Animal Farm, which is not the really same thing, but it's speaking animals. And then I thought of a transformation. And I've never read this book, but I've watched the movie, and that is A Picture of Dorian Gray. And that transformation comes with uncertainty. It's a lot in that book. There's some pride and uncertainty. It's all kind of stuff in that book. And I think it, if you enjoy this book, you might also enjoy, if you enjoy The Picture of Dorian Gray, you might enjoy also this book as well. So yeah, that's what I think. Kari, why did you choose this book?
I chose it because it's a classic, and I don't think I've ever fully read the work and I thought about it In school, it was no doubt an assignment that I quickly got through, but I never really thought about the work, its meaning. You mentioned Animal Farm. Of course, there are double and triple meanings there when it comes to both the plot and each character. While this book is not as, you know, intricate in its details and heavy handed, I would say, in its true meaning, I definitely see that there. And I see how someone could pick up this book and get three people could pick it up and get three different things from it. So I thought that'd be interesting for us to cover. And it's short. Why not? We need a short book every once in a while. And we're doing pretty good with last week's book and The Metamorphosis. So I'm excited to get into it.
Okay. Well, why don't we take a quick break before we dive in?
Okay. Sounds good.
And we're back. So, Kari, are you ready to take a spoiler-filled deep dive into The Metamorphosis by Franz Kafka?
I am.
Let's do it.
Alexis, can you please start with a reading, a portion of this week's book?
Okay, here goes. One morning, when Gregor Samsa woke from troubled dreams, he found himself transformed in his bed into a horrible vermin. He lay on his armor-like back, and if he lifted his head a little, he could see his brown belly, slightly domed and divided by arches into stiff sections. The bedding was hardly able to cover it and seemed ready to slide off any moment. His many legs, pitifully thin compared with the size of the rest of him, waved about helplessly as he looked. "What's happened to me?" he thought. It wasn't a dream. His room, a proper human room, although a little too small, lay peacefully between its four familiar walls. A collection of textile samples lay spread out on the table. Samsa was a traveling salesman, and above it, there hung a picture that he had recently cut out of an illustrated magazine and housed in a nice gilded frame. It showed a lady fitted out with a fur hat and fur boa who sat upright, raising a heavy fur muff that covered the whole of her lower arm towards the viewer. Gregor then turned to look out the window at the dull weather. Drops of rain could be heard hitting the pane, which made him feel quite sad. "How about if I sleep a little bit longer and forget all this nonsense," he thought. But that was something he was unable to do because he was used to sleeping on his right, and in his present state, couldn't get into that position. However hard he threw himself onto his right, he always rolled back to where he was. He must have tried it 100 times, shut his eyes so that he wouldn't have to look at the floundering legs, and only stopped when he began to feel a mild, dull pain there that he had never felt before.
Thank you. So we meet Gregor Samsa, and as you beautifully read, he woke up to find the legs don't match. What's more, he's a bug, a giant insect. It's not clear what kind of insect, because that's not the point. The point is, he's no longer human. Even more alarming is what, Alexis? That's right. He's overslept and is late for work.
That's, mind you, is the most important part.
It is quite disturbing for him. So you wake up and you find you got a million legs and a shell, and your abdomen is now like a folded striped torso thing. But you're late for work. What is Kafka telling us in this introduction, do you think, Alexis?
The most important thing, his contribution to the household is work. He's the worker bee. He gets out there, he does the work, and he is responsible for a lot. So if that's something that's weighing heavily on his mind, even though he is a bug, a giant bug, then that's important.
Yeah, and it emphasizes the importance that work overall has in our lives, right? Mm-hmm. Even if the nature of ourselves were to instantly change, our first concern might be, how am I going to continue providing?
What am I going to tell my employer?
What am I going to tell my employer? So Gregor begins trying to get up with this new body because he got to get to work. He thinks about how difficult his job is, this job that he chose for himself. And he chose, if you're watching on YouTube, Alexis is pretending to be a beetle. Those are the grunts that you hear. Thank you, Alexis. We love performance art, don't we? So he thinks about the life of a traveling salesman. And yes, you get your commission, you get your cash in hand more easily, more right away. However, you don't get to make any real lasting friendships. You're always eating bad food. You're traveling from here to there. And hotels. He thinks, you know, you're not sleeping in the best way because you're always in some shabby hotel. Right. And he thinks, I'm going to quit, but first I'm going to settle whatever debts my parents owe, and then I'm going to do it. And I think it'll only take me like 6 years. Now, I've been wanting to do this forever because I hate my job and my existence. But for the sake of my family, I'm going to continue working for 6 more years.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what he said. So many people feel like that.
Yep. Soon the entire family is knocking on the door of his bedroom, his sister on one side. So the way the home is set up, there are two doors that enter into Gregor's bedroom. On one side, his sister is quietly knocking. Gregor, you okay? Weren't you at work? Now on the other side, his mother is knocking. Gregor, you still in bed? What's going on? And then his dad on the same door. What's going on, son? Get up. Why aren't you on your way to work? Soon the doorbell rings. Gregor's boss walks in. Why was such a senior level of management called because of a no-show? This is Gregor's thought.
That's crazy. Crazy, yeah. Gregor. I agree with you.
His father tells Greta, his sister, to find a locksmith because we're going to get this door open. She hurries outside of the house and the office manager calls through the door and demands an explanation. He then goes, I see you trying to waste my time and make me look like a fool. So you know what? I got something to tell you. We're not happy with your work and somebody said you might have stole some money and I was defending you, but the way you treating me right now by not coming out of your room as I am in your house unannounced shows me that maybe I don't need to defend you as heartily as I've been doing. And you know what? Did I mention your work is terrible? Now, this is the market for low work. Okay, you know, you're a salesman, you have a commission-based job. This is the market to not be selling so much, but you're not selling at all.
Said, you know, this market is bad and, you know, everybody not selling well, but you the worst.
You're the worst out of everyone in the world. Gregor then begins rambling. He goes, but Mr. Manager, I'm opening the door immediately this very moment. A slight indisposition, a dizzy spell has prevented me from getting up. I'm still lying in bed right now, but I'm quite refreshed once again. I'm in the midst of getting out of bed. Just have patience for a short moment. Things are not going as well as I thought, but things are all right. How suddenly this can overcome someone, right? Am I right? Only yesterday evening, everything was fine with me. My parents certainly know that. Actually, just yesterday evening, I had a small premonition. People must have seen that in me. Why have I not reported that to the office? But people always think that they'll get over sickness without having to stay at home. Mr. Manager, take it easy on my parents. There's really no basis for this criticism. And it goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
The manager goes to his parents because the door is still closed. He goes, did you understand a single word? That was an animal's voice. Whoa! Seems to be. Nobody understand, Gregor.
I mean, he is going on and on explaining his side of the story. And now they hear.
Yeah.
He got it in there.
So with great effort, even causing some brown sewage, which must be blood, to leak from his body, he gets the door open. And what is the reaction of everyone in the home?
Woo! Are they frightened? I mean, they are taken aback. I'm talking about the manager races out the door, and he everybody goes, oh. Else is like, ooh, get him!
Yeah.
Get that bug.
Yeah. And remember, it's just the manager and the parents now. There was a maid in the house. Once she hears what's going on, she flees for her life. She goes, life. I'm not going to tell anybody nothing. I promise. Just let me quit.
Please. I beg of thee.
So the father then picks up a newspaper and the office manager's cane, which the office manager left behind in his hurry to flee. And he backs Gregor into the bedroom. Gregor injures himself. This is the first time the father causes his injury when he becomes stuck in the doorway. But the father shoves him through and slams the door. Part two, adaptation. So out of love, his sister puts out a bowl of milk and bread for him. This was Gregor's like favorite meal, which sounds like they're poor, but they're not necessarily poor. They're middle class. Mm-hmm. He just liked milk and bread together. And he's terribly hungry. You know, it's been a very busy, insane 24 hours. At first he's thrilled, but then he's repulsed because he finds he can't eat the things he once enjoyed. What he once loved is now disgusting to him. And his sister notices that he doesn't touch the bread or the milk. So she puts out a buffet of rotten food for him to see what he likes now as he's changing. Okay. He remembers that a few days ago he threw out some cheese because he had deemed it spoiled and rotten. She took it from the trash, put it on the floor, and he ate it with ravenous delight. He's like, oh, this is what I like now. Rotten cheese. Decaying foods. Yes. He loves it. So a pattern then begins where Greta, the sister, is feeding Gregor and cleaning up after him and reporting Gregor's condition to the mother and father. At this point, the family is still calling him Gregor. They see this as a temporary, shocking, inexplicable sickness. Soon they will get their Gregor back, especially the mother. And it seems the sister hold this view. And the father is very concerned, mostly about the finances of the family, mm-hmm. because Gregor was the sole provider. It should be noted that Greta is terrified of the sight of her brother. He has to like start burying himself under his bed or under the couch, throwing a sheet over him in order to be out of sight for her because he doesn't want to cause her any pain. He's grateful that she's caring for him and he doesn't want to scare her away or just scare her in general. He really loves his sister. But she's the only one taking care of him. And it's more out of loyalty than anything to who her brother once was.
Yeah, because they used to be like besties, right? She's actually his favorite person in the house. That's the one he had the best relationship with.
Sure, that was easy, though, because it's not like he's connected to anyone else really in the house. And we'll talk about that a little. Mm-hmm. So Gregor spends much of his time listening to the family through the door, and he learns that the money he'd regularly given his parents had not all been spent like he thought. They've been building up a little nest. And he thinks to himself, well, if I had known that, I could have quit sooner. But in hindsight, this is the best way. I'm glad they've been hoarding some of the money I work hard for. That's great. And it's interesting because his dad once had a business. It failed just 5 years ago. And since then, Gregor has been the only one working. His dad is now out of shape and soft. His mother's always, no, really, right? Like he wouldn't even really know how to work.
He also said they get out and walk together once a year. So he has really gone downhill in mm-hmm. the 5 years that he hasn't been doing anything.
The mother's a little flighty and the sister plays music really well. She plays the violin.
Come back to the mom. She is asthmatic. Okay.
Okay.
So she has breathing fits.
You don't think asthmatic people work? People with asthma can't work? I don't understand.
Back then, maybe not. That's what I'm thinking. Back then, she couldn't work.
Yeah, she a seamstress, not a track star. So anyway.
It's exhausting, okay?
Gregor isn't even into music, but he recognizes that his sister Greta has a special talent. He wants to get her into a special school that you have to pay for to improve on your music.
Juilliard is for dance and music, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Juilliard. He wanted to get her up in Juilliard. We made that part up. It don't matter. This is Prague. So he learns that they've saved a large chunk of money from his earnings unbeknownst to him. And to avoid spending the savings, the family will now have to start working. And Gregor's like embarrassed to hear that. Oh, my parents are going to have to work.
They're old. They're like Kari said, his daddy is now soft. His mom is fragile. And the sister is just a baby. They keep calling her just, you know, she's just such a, he keeps calling her just such a baby.
She's nearly 20.
She's 17 years old. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nearly 20 is a little extra.
All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he remembers when he first started working, and then he decided to get a commission-based job with the salesman role, and he started bringing cash home to the family, and they was like, whoa, Gregor, that's the man, yes! And they be raising them on they back, and they all do a little dance and, you know, pop, lock, and drop it. And then, as they got used to the money, it's almost like he can't even talk to his parents about anything. It created a weird barrier between them. And so, yes, like we said earlier, the only one he really talks to is his sister. And it's not like he's confiding in her about anything. He doesn't really have a life or any deep thoughts. He doesn't have time for that. But he appreciates her more. And she's also a family member who's a friend, not just a family member, if that makes sense. So these details clarify why the father in particular is so lethargic and unmotivated up to this point. He rules in the house. He's not necessarily a tyrant, but he's also not someone that you see in the book as being beneficial to the family really in any way. Is that fair to say?
I think so.
He's not a man of providing guidance. He's not a man that they look to for leadership or support. He's there. I don't know.
He's muscle, really, when he gets right down to it.
Well, later on, right, as Gregor descends into his metamorphosis. But their standard of living, too, when you hear about them, is like they have a maid and a cook when we first meet them. Their apartment is a little large for them, more rooms than they need. They would live in a smaller place, but Gregor was making so much money at the time that they decided to move into the bigger apartment.
Gregor picked out the apartment. So this is what Gregor wanted them to live in. He wanted them to be comfortable.
So they're living within their means, but they could stand to live a little more frugally. So anyway, time goes on and the mother soon becomes just desperate to see her son. She can't even stand it at this point, and she soon gets her wish. So let me back up a little bit. To pass the time, do you remember what Gregor does?
Crawls on the walls.
Sure do. Mm-hmm. And it leaves a little brown goo everywhere he steps. So his sister notices this activity because of the brown goo. Remember, she's going in there about once a day to feed him and clean up after him, maybe twice a day, I think. And so she's like, in order to make him feel better as an insect, let's go ahead and clear out all this furniture. Mom, let's do it while dad's gone so that he doesn't stop us. And so the two ladies, the daughter and mom, are like really working hard and they barely move one piece of furniture. They like, and then the mom is like, you know what? On second thought, if we move out all this furniture, how will he get better? How will he remember he's a real boy? Mm-hmm. How will he remember he's a man? He's going to just become more insect like. And this isn't something we want to nurture. So Gregor understands them, although they can't understand him. And although he was all for the more room to be crawling all over everything idea, hearing his mother talk, he's like, oh, well, you know what? Maybe this isolation has made me forget what's important. I do need to be getting back to being human and going to work. So maybe I don't want them to take everything. So as they leave the room to take a break, he crawls on this picture that he like took out of an ad. He framed this photo of a woman covered in fur. This is an ad. And he decides they're not going to take this. And he crawls on it. That means he crawls from under the couch where he was hiding. And now he's visible.
On the wall.
Yes. The mother and daughter walk in. The daughter sees Gregor first and turns to the mother and is like, why don't we come back later? And the mom was like, what do you mean? And sees Gregor.
She faints.
She faints. Gregor is now like, oh, mother, I must help mother. So when his sister runs out of the room to get some smelling salts in order to revive her mother, Gregor follows her. He wants to help, too. And this is terrifying to the sister. Imagine a roach following you. This is easy to imagine.
A giant. Mm-hmm. A giant one.
So without trying to, he is now actively terrifying both the mom and the daughter. He's open in plain view. They can see the disgusting, nasty thing he's become. And so the father returns to this chaos and nearly beats Gregor to death, literally. As Gregor is trying to make his way back into the room and show the father, look, I'm not trying to be out into the open. I'm trying to go back into my room. The father begins throwing apples at him. One apple gets lodged in Gregor's back, and the mother bursts from the room she was in, rushes to the father and begs him to spare Gregor's life. What is this telling us, Alexis? This little part here. What do you think this is about?
I don't know. This is, he's in his full change mode. He's in this cockroach or dung beetle, as the book says. And
no, so my translation doesn't. That's an interesting
mine
note.
Says dung beetle.
That is an overreach, perhaps, because it was important to Kafka not to describe exactly what the insect is. He even asked the illustrator for the first edition not to draw the insect for the cover.
Ooh,
he wanted it to be ambiguous.
So what does yours say?
Oh, it says like insect.
Sometimes
you'll see vermin. So I've read two editions.
So I'm only speaking particularly about the older nurse lady, the housekeeper that comes in. She calls him a dung beetle. That's the one talking about. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's why I said dung beetle. So anyway, at this point, this is them really pushing him back into his room. And what is the phrase called where they ostracize him?
Very good.
Close him off. For sure.
And it's interesting that he was wanting more freedom, but mm-hmm. the only thing really keeping him not free was his employment. Mm-hmm. He was going out traveling as a traveling salesman, but he wasn't free. So now as a bug, he is confined to his bedroom, and he, when alone, feels the most free he's ever felt in his life. But as soon as he steps out of that bedroom, terrible things happen. I think that's a bit of a study on what freedom means and what it like consequences that come with it, perhaps.
The consequences of freedom.
Maybe. Okay. So part three, extermination. In the wake of Gregor's injury, remember the apple is lodged into his back. It's real nasty. His mobility is limited. The family takes pity on him. And so as to appease him, they leave the door open a little so he can see all the people living people lives in the house. The father dozes in his chair. He now works at a bank. The mother sells lingerie for a boutique. And Greta studies French and shorthand in hopes of getting a job as a sales clerk. The father stops taking off his bank uniform and just starts sleeping in his chair, snoring loudly. His uniform's getting filthy. Greta and the mother encourage the father to go to bed, but he's like, this is my life now. And it's two ways to read this. Now, the father sleeps soundly in the chair. Perhaps work has given him the type of exertion he needed to finally get a good night's rest in a filthy uniform. Or you could read it as him saying, look at what my life is now, and him being depressed that he has to work so late in his life. He like 50, y'all.
That was a different time. They aged differently back then.
Yeah,
he needs to be at work. 50, you was old. Probably retirement age. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you're going to die at 52 from tuberculosis.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so Gregor learns that the family has been selling off jewelry to bring in money. They replaced their regular maid with the elderly woman. Like, what is this? What are we saying here? The elderly woman seems to be competent, but she's also a bit more willing. Like, she will open Gregor's door, bust it open, and just look at him.
she ain't afraid of Gregor.
Nah. And she goes, look at you, dumb beetle. And Gregor's like, I'm one of the men of this house. How dare she?
One day he's like,
I'm going to attack her. And she raises a chair and she's like, there won't be any more of that. Okay. And he goes and sits down under the couch.
I dare you.
I wish you would. I wish a beetle would. Okay.
He banged down.
Soon Greta, the sister, hardly even takes care of Gregor any longer. So the family takes three renters into their single family apartment. Their single family two-floor apartment. Like, they have room for three renters.
Even if it's just one floor, they have an extra room, a whole extra room that's rentable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the problem is the men are very like arrogant and unthankful.
So weird to be renting someone's house and have that attitude.
So the family has to go out and work jobs. And then when they come home, the three renters are there and they make them feel like servants in their own home. Uncomfortable servants. The family then starts using Gregor's room as storage, just throwing stuff in there. It used to be, remember that Greta would clean it regularly? Nah, that ain't happening no more. That's just storage. But Gregor doesn't mind. He likes crawling all over everything, leaving his brown goo. One night, the cleaning lady accidentally leaves the door open. Now, that's what the books say, but I'm going to say she like a little chaos. She do like chaos. She saw everybody sitting in the dining room table or going about their lives, and she was like, I left Gregor's door open. That same night, the three renters sit at the dining room table. They're the only ones who sit there because, remember, the family acts like servants in their own home now. And the three renters hear Greta playing the violin. And they're like, would the lady like to play in here with us? So Greta enters the living room and plays for the three renters. The mom even sits down at the dining room table with the three men. Gregor is entranced, by the violin and slowly creeps out of his room. Now, this is interesting because Gregor was never into music and he thinks to himself, did I have to become a beast before I appreciated music? I'm going to say, because Kafka was never into music, I think he saw it as a little low class. I might be overreaching, but I think he's making a statement here about the type of people who like music.
Animals.
A little bit.
Well, like, you know,
not the intellectuals.
So look, there is a part in here where the three men that are staying there, mm-hmm. they like the sound of it. Then they was like, I don't know if we like this. And they walk away, right?
So the second time I read this, I kind of felt like they were flirting a bit with Greta. Oh. And as no attention was being reciprocated, they lost interest because they're standing really close to her. Well, so out of the three, there's a leader and the other two just follow his lead.
Yeah.
And so, I did see it that way. I'm not sure. But so as Greta is becoming a young woman, it's obvious that men are noticing her. And Gregor, at this point, as he crawls out of his room, thinks to himself, I wish I could take my sister and make her stay in my room. And the way he describes it as her playing only for him, and then he would reach up and kiss her neck since it's been exposed lately since she goes to school and to work. And just the fact that he noticed her neck was exposed and he has this like Beauty and the Beast incestuous passing fantasy about his sister. Also to me shows that Gregor is now perhaps completely changed from who he used to be and is now truly a beast, insect, a vermin. So Gregor crawls out of his bedroom. And he now in the dining room with everybody just listening to the music. The renters are at first intrigued and then quickly they are like horrified.
This giant bug, your house is filthy.
They run to their room and the father rushes in after them. And they're like, we're going to sue you. We're going to sue you so good. And we're not going to pay you for anything you've done for us. And we also not leaving because the next day they still there. So I was confused.
Yeah, because I thought they were leaving also. Mm-mm. I mean, you make that biggest thing. Like, I'm leaving. The house is disgusting. How could we live like this? And you ain't getting no money from us. Mm-hmm. And then they go into the room and go to bed.
It is at this point that Greta's relationship or her thoughts about her brother completely change. And she stops saying that this is Gregor. She stops calling the vermin him and says it. We have to get rid of it. We are fooling ourselves to think that this is still Gregor, because if it was, he would do the decent thing and leave on his own. However, this is no longer my brother. This is no longer your son. He can't understand us. Let's stop fooling ourselves and let's get rid of this thing. Gregor hears those words. He feels terrible. He scuttles back to his room and he remains motionless through the night. At dawn, what happens, Alexis?
He dies.
He dies. And it's real peaceful. He's like, huh? Well, if you're watching on YouTube, I just did like a dead face, like from a cartoon. Okay. So that's Gregor. He is discovered by the cleaning lady who's like, everybody come look at the thing. It's dead. The family, though, enters the room and is instantly saddened. They all gather around Gregor's corpse and refer to it again as Gregor, as him. Oh, Greta says, look how skinny he had become. The father kicks the ungrateful renters out of the apartment.
Immediately. He gets some
gumption. Yeah. And then they decide, and you know that cleaning lady to talk too much and be taking liberties? She fired too.
She can get out.
And so the family decides to take a walk together. First, they write to their employers explaining why they're not coming in their own way they're explaining. And they hop on a train and go to the countryside. They discuss their finances and discover, you know what? We got plenty of money.
Let's get a small place.
We got a lot of money. Mm-hmm. We're good. Let's downsize. Let's move into a smaller apartment and we'll be fine. In fact, we can live in a better area.
Yeah.
So then the parents notice what an attractive young woman Greta has become. And they think it'll be time to find a husband for her soon. The book ends with this. Growing more silent and almost unconsciously understanding each other in their glances, they thought that the time was now at hand to seek out a good, honest man for her. And it was something of a confirmation of their new dreams and good intentions when at the end of their journey, their daughter got up first and stretched her young body. The end. What do you think of this ending before we take a break?
That's her coming out of her cocoon.
You think that's what that is? Mm-hmm. Interesting. I think that the family, in this case, the parents, are looking for another body to use.
Oh, wow. That was a lot.
As they worked Gregor's to death.
Ooh.
They're now like, how can we use this other child's body?
Oh, deep. Yeah, no, I was thinking she transformed into this beautiful butterfly that they can marry out.
She too is,
had a metamorphosis.
And you'll not know. I like that. So. Let's take a break and talk about this some more. How that sound?
Okay, yeah, let's do it.
Alexis, what did you think of The Metamorphosis by Franz Kafka? Would you recommend this book? And just what are your overall thoughts? They sounded very interesting.
I enjoyed this book. The bug thing was a lot, but I loved it. And I had a hard time imagining it first, so I listened to it. And then I actually watched it. I liked it so much. So I would recommend it. I'll just say that I would recommend it. I read some notes about Kafka's writing and they said he talks a lot about isolation, and I can see that in this story. Gregor was under extreme amount of pressure to provide for his family. And because of that, he was isolated from them. And then when he becomes his bug, he's even more isolated from them. So that's very interesting. So as he goes through his transformation, well, he's immediately transformed. He is now a transformation to death. As he gets to that point, his sister is now transforming into something else. And that is a woman, like you said, then that can be used by the parents. So that's very interesting.
Alexis, that is very insightful. I love that, as your critiques usually are. You said you watched it?
I did.
Is there a movie? Did you enjoy it?
A movie, yes. There is a movie, and the way she the way she gets up and stretches, I said, oh, we all stretch like that. But it was something about the way she stretched in the movie. I said, oh, that's like a butterfly.
Oh, wow.
So that's what it made me think of when I watched it. So when I went back and read it again, that's what I saw.
I looked for a visual representation of this story, and it was a lot of weird stuff out there, and so I stopped looking. So that's interesting, because this is technically a horror.
Yeah.
Whenever you talk about body, what is the phrase?
Not dysmorphia.
No. Body horror.
Body horror? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it has a touch of that. Now, this isn't a violent book necessarily, because Gregor's a vermin, an insect. Yeah. But when you consider that he's actually a man, then maybe.
Well, they are violent towards that bug when his father is always seems to be beating on him. I mean, they do that apple. Kill him. And so the one that I watched is the 2012 version, and it's on Amazon. I got it for 99 cents.
Ooh. Paying for it. Never mind. Let's strike that from the record. I'll just wait till there's a play at my local middle school. And that brings me to another point. Why is this book so popular amongst children? Not teenagers. Children
of what age?
I mean, kids. Like, I think it's a superficial elementary idea. Absolutely. Not only is it read in some elementary schools, but it is embraced by a younger demographic who no doubt see the inspiration in some superhero movies. Spider-Man, for example, which is blatantly inspired from by Metamorphosis, perhaps. I don't know. You can't say blatantly and perhaps, but I just did.
I know. Right? So,
allegedly. So, yeah, but there's a deeper meaning here that I don't think you might understand until you got to go to work.
I don't think this is for children. Yeah. I don't think this is for children. I would like to understand why this would be popular amongst the kiddos. Mm-hmm. Do you have an idea?
That's the idea. That's the idea that I got from my research.
That's wild. That don't even make sense to me.
No, it doesn't. If you look at it superficially, this is just about a man who woke up as a bug and then he died.
None of the superheroes, only the superheroes don't die. They live on. They fight crime. I can't make the connection. It's not for me.
And as you get older, you project your own life experience into the stories you read. Kafka's writing is very... Actually, did you even ask me what I think about this
book? I was getting ready to.
Sorry, go ahead.
So, Kari, as I stated, I would recommend this book. How about you? Would you recommend it? What's your final verdict?
Kafka's writing is very non-descriptive. Although, I don't know. Is that really what I want to say? He's very much this happened, that happened, this happened. This is how it looked. And so this happened. He is not fusing emotion into his writing, into his characters.
It's very matter of fact.
It is very matter of fact. Oh, thank you, Alexis. I'm so glad. Yeah, that's what it is. Uh-huh. Kafka has a very matter of fact style of writing, which is great because it means that you can just project your own life experience and thoughts into his characters and it'll make sense. If you want this book to be anti-work, it will be for you. If you want this book to actually show how work infuses our lives with meaning and purpose, you can get that from this. If you want this to be a pro-communism book, you can totally get that. If you want it to be anti-communism, yep, it's there too. And so Kafka doesn't really tell us, even the family in it is Catholic, you know, they're not Jewish. So he's not telling you what to think based on what he thinks. That's interesting to me. He has a style of writing where you can just kind of create his characters into what fits your agenda. And that can be fun, especially for discussion.
Yeah.
However, I've read this book now 3 times this week and I didn't enjoy any of them. I kind of feel like, oh, is this what it means? It means, okay, I don't care.
Oh, I don't care.
No. Gregor's the writing style did not attract me, and that when I meet Gregor and I learn all about his history, I feel nothing for him. He is a man that's made to be a slave because of the debt of his parents. Come to find out, his parents ain't even that much in debt, and if they just move some money around, they could all live in a nicer place. That's crazy. But I appreciate that is how a lot of us live. Yeah. We just do. Instead of stopping to think, you know, can we simplify and actually improve the quality of life? Is the way we're living creating unnecessary stresses for people we love? Are we close to the people that provide for us? Why or why not? That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. And yet, I will never read this again. So would I recommend it? Nah. No, read 19. I mean, if you want to talk about the way society affects our outlook and how work affects how we see our life's purpose, please read 1984. Please read. Oh, please read Harlem Shuffle. Actually, I think that's a great study about the pursuit of money and how it affects our relationship with people and with family, especially. That's great. Especially a modern day look at it. It is not going to be as vague as Kafka. It is definitely telling you what to think because it's a book. Like, what even is this? What is The Metamorphosis? You guys.
Nah. No, Kari. That is quite thoughtful. That's quite thoughtful in the way that.
If I told you that Harlem Shuffle is being made into a movie starring Idris Elba, how would you feel? No, I'm serious.
No, I would absolutely love that. Okay. It's Harlem Shuffle and it's Idris Elba, but that has nothing to do with this book.
Now, what if I told you that The Metamorphosis is being made into a movie starring Idris Elba? What do you think? Cats. That. You're like, not again.
No, because I will watch that too. Okay. Is he the bug? Yes, okay, so I will watch
just
it.
Like Idris, I forget.
Mm-hmm. I will watch it. Or is he the father?
Okay.
He can play any of those roles.
Michael B. Jordan. Just hate this.
This is
hate everything about it.
No.
No, I don't recommend this book. I didn't enjoy it. I would not recommend it. I don't like it.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll let you go with that one. What are we reading next week, Kari?
We are reading King Lear by William Shakespeare.
That's right. Another Shakespeare on our list. And we will dig deep into that coverage. Thank you for listening to Lit Society. We look forward to meeting up with you next week, Thursday. Lit Society is brought to you by Alexis Anaria, that's me, and Kari Herrera. Support the cause by leaving a 5-star review for our show on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and leave a comment about why you absolutely love us, because we love you too. Thanks for listening. Guys. If you've enjoyed what you just heard, tell a friend about Lit Society. Visit LitSocietyPod.com for show notes, this month's book list, and to sign up for our amazing email newsletter. And until next time, read something.
Read something.